All right, good. Sweet. It's loading on this side.
Oh, you got that.
Is there anyone who hasn't got the sheet thing?
Yay! We finally made it. Okay. So we are talking today about the discipline of prayer. And so we have a guy, shadow, praying, facing the sun. Not that you should worship the sun. You should not worship the sun. Although they did that in ancient Egypt, right? Instead of worshiping the sun, you should worship the sun. Am I normally this witty? I don't feel like I'm normally this witty. All right. Good. So today we're going to talk about the discipline of prayer. Again, this is very important. Do disciplines earn you favor with God?
No.
Do they get you into heaven?
No.
Do they get God to like you more?
No.
But what do they do? They get you closer to God. They make your relationship with Him better. They get you spiritually stronger, and you'll be blessed because of them. God will bless you as you exercise spiritual discipline. So that's why we pray. Because honestly, if you ask a lot of people in the world, how do you get to heaven, what will they say? Pray a lot, right? Pray a lot, go to church, read your Bible. But that's not how you get into heaven. How you get into heaven is you ask Jesus to pay your way for you. To buy your ticket for you.
Do I have to write my name down on the sleepover thing?
Nope, you're coming to the sleepover.
Yeah.
You live there. You put your name on it just so we have it count. Alright. So yeah, but today I want to talk about prayer. And if you stop and think about it, what is prayer? Can someone tell me what is prayer?
Speaking to God?
Talking to God. Did you just think about that for just a split second? Just stop, think. Talking to God. You guys go with talking to, like, I can talk to you or I could talk to God. What? Right? You know, like, we don't actually stop and think about this sometimes, but the fact that you can actually talk to the God of the universe, right? Like, this all-powerful, all, like, by Him everything exists, the Bible says. Like, if He stopped taking, like, if He stopped doing what He does, the whole world would just, like, end, right? He upholds everything, the Bible says, right? So, and you can just talk to Him whenever you feel like it. That's kind of crazy if you stop and think about it. Because Obama, I can't stop and talk to him whenever I feel like it. My mom was here for the weekend, and we were talking about Alibaba. You guys know Alibaba?
Yep.
Okay, it's a really big Chinese online company. They just went, like, public in America, and so the CEO dude is, like, crazy rich. She's like, he's, like, one of the richest men in China. Which, there's a lot of people in China, so that makes you pretty rich, right? Anyway, so my mom was like, yeah, you know, we have a bunch of rubber plants in my place where I live, and I was wondering if he had anything to do with it. So I wrote him a letter to see if he would, what he would do about it, right? And she's like, he didn't write back. I just got some computer automated thing, right? If you write a letter, when I was young, I wrote a letter to Bill Clinton. Do you guys know who Bill Clinton was?
Yeah.
He was the president of the United States. Way back in the day when we didn't have internet or computers in every home. No joke. We didn't have cell phones. I'm not even kidding. Like the internet was invented when Bill Clinton was president. Back in that day when we were still writing letters, no joke, I hand wrote a letter. Because I didn't have a computer to print up on. I'm not even joking. I hand wrote a letter and I sent it to Bill Clinton. I said, Bill Clinton, we should outlaw alcohol. Alcohol should not be allowed in the United States of America. No joke. I believe this as a 13-year-old. And he wrote me a letter back.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He said, Dear Kenny, thank you for your letter concerning an issue that is important to Americans. I, in my time in office, have done all I can to promote the welfare of the United States. Bill Clinton. Was it from Bill Clinton?
No.
It's from some intern in the office who was like, oh, some kid wrote letters. Write a letter back, right? So I don't have access to him, right? All these people, and think about it. Who is more powerful? Who is more awesome? Who's more famous? Who's more, like, important to have Gwen Xi with? Like, you know, right? Like, who's more important to have that relationship with? Some person or God Almighty? God. And God says, hey, you are welcome to pray, and I will hear you, right? That's crazy if we stop and think about it. So as we talk to about this discipline of prayer, I hope that you can look at it with this kind of attitude of like, wow, I get to pray to God. This is crazy. How can I do this better? Rather than like, oh, Christians are supposed to pray? Okay, fine. Right? Does that make sense? I hope that we can come with that attitude. And I know sometimes we feel that way because it's so normal, right? When something becomes normal, it becomes less special. Right? Sometimes prayer happens with prayer. But I want to help inspire you to see how amazing prayer is and how much we can continue it. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into the first thing, which is prayer is powerful. Here we go. Next. Okay, so why do we pray? Can someone look up James 5? Actually, let's all do this. James 5, verses 13 through 18. Grab your Bibles. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. And Mr. Greg will throw one at your face. Otherwise, switch to James. The truth does hurt. It's sharp. It's the sword of the spirit. Okay. Right, James 5. You guys flipping there? It's near the end of the Bible. So remembering from a few weeks ago, why do I want you guys to turn there with me? Why? Do you guys remember? Remember when I was teaching about how to listen to a sermon, why you should turn to the passage in your Bible? So you can see the context, yeah, and you can see what they're talking about, right? You can hold me accountable to use God's word, right? Alright, verses 13 through 18. Let's do it popcorn style. So just go ahead and read one verse. I'll go ahead and start in verse 13. James 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise.
Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven.
Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years.
Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, earth bore its fruit. So is prayer, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like when I pray, I'm like, well, did that do anything? Right? You're like, can I do something useful? Or maybe you've heard people say this, all we can do is pray. Right? Like, there's nothing left to do. All we can do is pray. And I feel like sometimes when people say that, they're like, there's nothing we can do except pray. Don't know if that's going to do anything, but that's all we can do, right? But actually, prayer, what does this verse say about prayer? What can it do? If someone's sick, the elders of the church should go and pray for them, and God can heal people, like physically heal people. If you didn't know this, if you're a new Christian or whatever, if you're sick, we can pray for you, and God can heal you. Right? That God uses prayer to heal people, right? Like physically heal people. So what about what happened with Elijah? Said he prayed, and what happened? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. Woo, snap, he controlled the weather for 3.5 years. And then at the end of 3.5 years, he just prayed again and it rained. What does the beginning of that verse say? Elijah was what?
Human.
Huh?
Human.
He was human. What does some other translations say? He was a man.
Just like us.
Just like us. I always think of these people in the Bible who like pray and do epic stuff through their praying as like, you know, second tier or third tier Christians. Like, whoa, yeah. They're awesome. When they pray, God's like, oh, wait, everybody shut up. Elijah's speaking. Yes, Elijah? Right? I don't know. That's how I think of it. But it says in this verse, Elisha was a man like us. And he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Prayer is powerful. It can change things. Yeah, so it, in verse 16 it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Let me just share, this was in my notes, but I'm going to share this because it's one of my favorite stories. I love to share with you guys the history of Soar, like who Soar was before. So you may not know this, but Soar actually started in like year 2000. Yeah. So how many of you guys were born in 2000? Oh my gosh. How many of you guys were born after the year 2000 or after? Oh my gosh. Okay, so basically Soar is older than you guys, okay? So way back in the day when Soar was the early days of Soar and we were all babies in Soar, right? No, I was in Soar in 2002 and we wrote a bunch of music and we actually recorded an album. A CD album. So actually the album is now being used by the U.S. military as a torture device for terrorists. It was so bad. It was like, really, I don't, because we stunk, because we had no skill. It was really, really bad. You ask anybody who was on the CD, hey, the CD, do you have a copy? They're like, nope. We burned them. Yeah, no, seriously, I don't know any, like, we did another CD about, like, a year or two later, and that one's better. Still not great, but it's better. But the first one was just really bad. We sounded like a bunch of, second graders who were like sounded like chipmunks. It was really bad. It was really, really bad. Anyways,
Do you still have it?
I don't have that one. I don't know what you have. So, but while we raised money and we went to a professional studio and we recorded it in a professional studio. While we were in the studio, my friend had a digital camera, which at this time, digital cameras were new. I know this is hard to imagine, but most cameras were film at this time. And I had this new digital camera, which was really expensive, and I was like, hey, can I see it? And like, yeah, and so I'm looking at it, and I put the strap around my my wrist, and I put it down, and I forgot about it. And then she's like, Kenny. I was like, oh, yeah? And I went like this. And the camera flew and hit against the armrail on the couch. And I was like, oh, hope is okay. It's probably okay. I flip it on, and the little screen, because back then digital cameras had screens that were like this big. I'm not even joking. It was like literally like an inch by an inch. And I looked at the screen, and it was all negative. Like black was white was black, blue was red, and vice versa. It was like looking at a negative, and I was like, oh no. So I went to the girl whose camera was like, I'm so sorry. She looked at it, and she was like, no, she didn't forgive me right away, I don't think. But anyway, I just felt so bad, and I went home, and actually, like, that was like on Tuesday or Monday. On Thursday, I saw my friend, and I was like, hey, last night I dreamed that the camera got fixed. And he told me, no way, last night I dreamed the same exact thing. Oh, this is God. So on Saturday after youth group, he was like, Saturday we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the camera. So after youth group on Saturday, we grabbed the camera, and he was like, come on, Kenny, we're going to pray for it. I was like, pray for a camera? Like, you can pray for people to get healed from cancer, but like a camera, that's weird, right? So he came up and he held the camera in his hand like this, and we all like laid hands on the camera, like this, all like, gathered around, we laid hands on the camera, and they're like, you prayed, Kenny, you broke it. I was like, well, so I was like, dear Lord, I'm really sorry, please fix the camera, amen, something like that. And I still to this day don't know why, but we didn't check. Maybe we were too scared to check. And we just put the camera on like the top of the piano, and then we all like went and ate dinner or whatever. I'm not exaggerating. It was not more than 1 or 2 minutes later that this girl who had no idea about everything that had gone on was like, hey, Ken, look at this funny picture I took. And I looked over and the camera was completely fixed. And like it was working perfectly. And we were like, oh my god! You know, I ran over to God, I was like, and he was like, yeah, I knew God was going to fix it. I was like, you did not! I knew God was going to fix it. Right? Because he had faith for it. He believed that. I was still so shocked. But I learned in that moment, that prayer is actually powerful, right? It actually moves stuff. It's not just like talking into the air. Prayer actually moves things, right? It's powerful, it's effective, and God uses prayer. And I have a lot of stories from my life that I can share with you about other things, where I prayed for things and God moved. And you've probably all have stories too or have heard stuff. So don't doubt that. Prayer is powerful. All right, next is this. Prayer builds our relationship with God. If you want to have a better relationship with somebody, what do you do? If I'm like, Craig, man, you seem like such a cool person. We should get to know each other better. What do? We go like paint our nails together or like what? No. What do? We talk, we hang out, right? We do something we enjoy together, right? We spend time with each other. Sometimes I think we kind of think like, my relationship with God will just automatically get better because I'm just older. But that's silly thinking. Why would my friendship with someone get better just because I'm older? That's kind of dumb, right, to think that. Your relationship with someone gets better when you spend time with them. So as you pray, your relationship with God will improve. As you do it more and more. And we see this in the Lord's Prayer, which I'm going to talk about in a second. Do you guys know the Lord's Prayer? His disciples said, hey, Jesus, how should we pray? And he said, here's how you should pray. And what does he say in the very beginning?
Our Father.
Do you guys see that? At the very, very beginning of the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples was what? Your relationship to God. And every time you pray, it should remind you, hey, you know what? He's my dad. I'm his son, right? Can someone flip to Romans 8:15 and read that verse for me? Start in verse 14. Romans
what?
Romans 8, verses 14 and 15.
Okay. Because there are those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father.
Abba, Father. I actually, Khalil is still learning to speak. She has a few words. One is, muh. That means, like, I enjoy that, I want that, that is awesome. It's like, mmm, mmm, right? She also has mama. She can still say mama, right? And then every once in a while she'll say baba, right? But mostly mama. But when I'm training her, I'm trying to train her to call me Abba. I want her to call me Abba, right? Like, that's just my thing. I want her to call me Abba. And the reason I want her to call me Abba, it's because someday when she's like 10 or 11 or 12 years old, your guys' age, I want her to open up her Bible and be flipping through and get to Romans 8, verse 15, and it says, like, we receive adoption as God's sons, and by it we cry, Abba, Father. If you don't know this, Abba is basically the equivalent of daddy. It's like daddy, hey dad. And God's desire is that not only would we see him as king of the universe, which he is, and magnificent and huge, whatever, but that we could also have the confidence to run before him and say, hey, daddy, look what's happening in my life. Can you please help me, right? To come with that kind of comfort and that kind of familiarity. And as we pray, God will develop that in us, that relationship, being able to call him your daddy, right? Being able to call him your father. All right. Prayer gives us direction. So, we don't have to turn there, but Genesis 24, verse 12, actually the whole chapter, is a story of this guy. You guys know what Abraham is in the Bible?
Yeah.
Abraham. He has a song, Father Abraham, have many sons. Okay, all right, yeah. So, Abraham was, like, a really important person in the Bible, but basically, he had a son named Isaac. And Isaac was about old enough to get married. So what did he do? Well, same thing we do, right? He went and got him a wife. How would you guys like that if your parents got you a wife for you? A husband, right? You're like, here you go, daughter. Your husband. Got it.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, please, Dad. Oh, no, right?
Okay,
so he was worried about his son getting a wife. So he sent his trusted servant away to basically his homeland to get a wife for his kid. And so his servant goes away, and his servant's like, man, how am I supposed to pick a wife for my master, right? Can you imagine being that? It's like, hey, I want to hire you. All right, you be my worker? Good. I'll pay you $50 an hour. I want you to find the perfect spouse for my son. Right? A lot of pressure there. Can you imagine if someone hired you to find a spouse for their kid? You got it wrong. You're fired, right? Then that kid's married to some loser their whole life, right? That would stink. So much pressure. So you imagine, he loved his master. He loved his master's family. So he's like, man. So he gets there, and he says, all right, God, you got to help me out. I don't know what to do. I'm paraphrasing. It's not exactly what the Bible says, but... And he says, all right, would you do this? When a woman comes out, I'll ask her for a drink of water. And if she says, sure, have some water, and I'll water all your camels as well. Which is like way more work, right? Then she'll be the one. So he's there, and he's waiting, and this beautiful girl comes out. And he says, hey, would you mind giving me a drink of water? And she's like, yeah, and I'll totally water your camels. Right? And he's like, oh my gosh, right? And then he asks her, her name is Rebecca. Turns out she's perfect for Isaac. And he says, will you go back with me and be married to Isaac? And she says, yes. And go back and get married. It's this crazy love story. But God gave direction there. Another time we see is Gideon. You guys know the story of Gideon?
Yep.
Gideon was this kind of a wimp. He's one of the big wimps of the Bible. And God comes up to him and says, Gideon, you are a mighty warrior. And he's like, who, me? He's like, I'm from the smallest tribe, the smallest family of the smallest tribe, and I'm the smallest person in that family. Why in the world would you pick me? I'm not a mighty warrior. And God says, rise up, I'm going to use you to defeat the enemies of Israel. And so he's like, well, but I'm so scared because I'm not like, you know, please don't call me. No, no, no. And then he's like, fine, you know what, Lord? If you want me to go, I'm going to put this, like, fleece, this, like, you know, sheepskin, out on the lawn, my front lawn. And if it is wet in the morning and the lawn is dry, then I'll know it's really you talking to me. So he waits until the next morning and that happens. And he's like, oh, well, Lord, let me pray for a little more direction. If it's really you, could you make the lawn wet and then the fleece dry? And then the next day, boom, that happens too. So he's like, darn it, now I have to do it, you know? And he went and he conquered the enemies of Israel, and God used him for great victory. So, in your life, if you don't know what to do, you should pray, and often God will lead you. One thing I want to challenge, just put a challenge on you with this. You can ask God for, many people in Christian circles call it a fleece, you know? Gideon, he laid out the fleece. He said, hey, prove what you want me to do. Prove this will be. You can do that with God. I think he welcomes it. But let me, like, just caution you against putting too much emphasis into that. Or worse, what I see some people doing is this. They'll be like, all right, God, I really, really, really want to go on this date with this guy, but I know he's not a Christian, and I know he's kind of a loser and a drug addict, and he's going to prison next week, but I really want to go on a date with him. So if, let me just... put this fleece before you. If the sun rises tomorrow, that will be a sign from you that I'm supposed to go on this date with this person, right? Sometimes we do this. We lay a fleece, but it's something that's like super probable to happen, and then we're like, all right, well, you know, that'll be proof that God wants me to do what I want to do, right? So be careful that you're not doing that. But I think it's fine at times to ask, all right, God, you know, I don't know what to do. If you want me to go on this missions trip, would you please provide money? And then if you don't provide money, I won't go. But if you provide money, then I go. I think that's perfectly fine prayer to ask when you're asking for direction. Or God, if you want me to go to this university, would you get me in? Right? It's a very clear one. If you don't get in, you can't go. You know? I think this is awesome to pray in this way. God desires to bring direction to our life. And he'll do this as we pray. Okay? All right. Prayer brings perspective. That's the last one, if you can see it. So, Psalm 73, if you guys ever get a chance to read it, it's a great psalm. David is writing it, and he's like, paraphrase, he says this, man, life stinks. This is all the horrible people, all the nasty people. They're rich. Like, nothing bothers them. They're at ease. Like, they just go on oppressing other people, hurting other people, stepping on other people to get up, and they never get punished. And they just have awesome... How many guys have ever felt like that? The people who cheat and do all the nasty stuff, like, they get ahead. And then all the people who are, like, doing what's right get stepped on below. How many guys have ever felt that way, right? Okay, if you ever felt that way, go and read Psalm 73, because that's exactly what he's talking about. He's just like, this stinks. Why not? That's how he feels the whole time. And then about halfway through the psalm, he says, but then I went to the house of the Lord. Right? And what do you do in the house of the Lord? You pray, right? He said, I went to the house of the Lord, and while I was there, it clicked. I realized the end of them is not good. He said, I got perspective. I saw that it was bigger than just this. I could see all, right? I see that, yeah, they may look like they're successful now, but God is just. And those who oppress others will be judged. God is just. Those who honor him will be honored. God says that in his word. He said, when I went to the house of God, it basically gave him the big picture perspective rather than getting zeroed in on the little stuff. How many of you guys have ever been in a fight with a family member? Everybody. How many of you guys, while you were in the middle of the fight, said, all right, stop, let's just pray for a second? How many of you guys have ever done that? Are you serious? Oh my gosh. Start doing this. Start doing this. Next time you're in a fight with a family member, just stop and be like, hey, we can pick this up, but let's just pray real quick, okay? Because here's what happens. I've done it multiple times. You're like, you squeezed the you used my toothbrush, and like, you got your slobber all over. I can't believe it. I had no one on my own. Why would you use mine then? But you're an idiot. Don't you realize that there's germs? And you're yelling back and forth, right? And then you stop. You're like, all right, let's pray. Dear Lord. Oh my gosh, this is really stupid. I'm sorry, right? You know, right? Because suddenly when you like acknowledge God being in the room with you, your argument seems really stupid, right? Because as you pray, it brings perspective to things. Okay? When you pray, it brings perspective. There's also times when I've been like, you know, like I feel like my life is so bad. I feel like, you know, man, this went bad, and this went wrong, and I'm losing that friend, and that relationship is all messed up, and I got a bad grade on my test, and I don't know how I'm going to pay for this, and blah, 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 and all this stuff is happening. And I'm like, all right, you know, dear Lord, I just thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. Wow. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins so I don't have to go to hell, so that I can go to heaven when I die. Oh, wow, okay. You know? These other things actually aren't that big of a deal, right? When you can get the big picture on things. So prayer will bring perspective. So if you're getting totally sucked up into something, take time and pray. And God will bring perspective to put you back on track. All right, so how should I pray? I'm sorry, I'm going too slow, so I got to speed up through here. Matthew 6. Actually, even though we don't have a lot of time, we should read this. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. Go ahead and flip there. Matthew 6. 13. Alright, I'll go ahead and read it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right. How many of you guys have heard the sayings, children should be seen, not heard? How many of you guys have heard that saying? Okay.
Huh?
This is maybe an American thing. Children should be seen, not heard. Basically, you should be there, but you should be quiet. Prayer should be heard, but not seen. What I mean by that is this. When you pray, your reason for praying should be to be heard by God, not to be seen by men. And sometimes we get this really, really mixed up. Let's imagine for a second that I get a chance to speak with Jeremy Lin, who I am a big fan of Jeremy Lin. Lin Chu Hao, I love Jeremy Lin. He's awesome. Basketball player. If you guys don't know who he is, he's a basketball player. Taiwanese-American basketball player. He's not the greatest, but he's just awesome, okay? He listens to Hillsong before he goes on the court. He's a cool guy. And let's imagine I had a chance to meet him, right? And I just walked up to him in the game, and I was like, hey, I got to see him right before the game starts. If I walked up to him, I was like, oh, Jeremy Lin. Oh, wait, where's the cameras? Okay, well, good. One's pointing at Jeremy Lin. Hey, Jeremy Lin, it's good to see you. Hi, Mom. Yeah, good to see you. Yeah, okay. Hey, can you take a picture? I'm talking to Jeremy Lin. Hey, take a picture of me. Hey, Jeremy Lin, how are you? So nice to meet you. Can you give me your autograph? Yeah, thanks. All right, awesome. Yeah, and good to see you. Bye. Right? Like, what's he going to feel like? I feel like an object, right? Right? We don't feel it. You may not realize this, but we do this with God a lot. How many of you guys have ever said a prayer before a meal? Or a prayer before a youth group? Or a prayer while you were leading worship? When you weren't even really directing it to God, you're just kind of saying it for everybody else there. Right? You're just praying to be seen by others. Maybe you're like, oh, I am going to do that. Well, let me ask again. How many of you guys have ever been in a prayer meeting? And when you pray, you know, everyone else is like, amen. You know, the little people get right. And God, I pray that you be in Ferguson. Right? You know, or amen, right? How many of you guys have ever prayed and then kind of like tried to get as many as possible while you pray? Okay, I have done this all the time. Right? I don't know if you have, I have done this all the time. We're like, God, I just pray you set the captives free. You deliver the broken. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and I just pray, and I'm trying to get people to like, you know? And there's an aspect of that that's great. I want to pray things that people can agree with, right? I don't want to be like praying something that people are like, what the heck is he talking about, right? Like, I want to pray something that people can join in prayer to God with. But if I'm only praying to get out of other people, am I actually praying for God to hear me? Something is super messed up. So whenever you pray, especially if you pray in public, I ask you, think about this. Remember who you're talking to. You're not talking to other people there. Stop thinking about what they think about you. Pray to God. And then the reason we pray in public is so that if other people agree, they can agree. Right? The other challenge is this. I think a lot of us, we only pray in public. We pray before meals. We pray if someone asks us to at youth group. We pray for whatever. But we never actually take time when no one sees us to pray. So this is my challenge to you. If you don't right now, take time. When nobody knows that you're praying, pray. I just got to call some people out on this. If you take an Instagram of your quiet time, and you hashtag bless, hashtag I needed this so much, hashtag yeah, I love my time with the Lord, hashtag I'm awesome because Jesus loves me, right? Like, you're missing the heart. What did Jesus say very clearly? When you do your prayer, don't do it in front of men. Just go into your closet where nobody can see you and have this time with the Lord, right? I mean, like, I don't want to judge people. Maybe God can use Instagrammed pictures of coffee in your Bible to encourage others to have their quiet time too, right? But I just want to be warning. Let's not make our quiet times be about other people hearing that we had them. Hear me on that? That's so wrong. So let's not go there. Do your prayers to know God better, not for other people to see you. All right, pray in sincerity. Oops, this is next slide, I think. through. See if I can get this to work. Oh, I forgot to put them in. Oh well, my bad. So pray with sincerity. What he says, don't try to just pray with a bunch of words, because like that's what the heathens think will get them hurt, right? My wife went to India a while back, and they had like this, she stayed with a Christian family, and they recorded these prayers on like a cassette tape, and then they just put play on like repeat all day long. So for like 12 hours, it was just the prayers going on over and over and over and over again. And what does God say? What does Jesus say? He's like, you're not going to get heard more if you pray more. God knows what's in your heart even before you say it. And this is an important thing to realize. God's not a vending machine. Okay? It's not like if you put in 1 hour of prayer, you can get a level 1 prayer answer. But if you want a big one, such as healing from cancer, oh, that's a level 3. So you need at least a 3-hour prayer meeting before a level 3 prayer answer will come. Like it's not, God's not a machine like that. He's a person. If you can go and take a 3-hour prayer time with the Lord, awesome, go for it. Go for it. He'll reward you. You'll get closer to Him. But don't think of it as like, oh, well, if I say my request over enough times, then God will hear me better. God already knows before you even say it. Right? This is kind of the problem with ritualized prayers, where like you say the same prayer over and over again, right? So now, don't get me wrong, I think written prayers, I used to hate them, but I actually think that they're very valuable at times when you really mean them, right? If you really mean a ritualized prayer, like if you find a prayer written by like some Christian 300 years ago, and you're like, this is awesome, I'm going to pray this, and you really mean it, that's awesome. You're praying together with people from so far before. What's going on?
There's a roach.
Oh, get away from my bed.
Kill it, dude.
Yeah.
What did that roach do to you?
Let's pray that the roach goes away. Alright. Don't freak out. So yeah, so let's be people who seek the Lord. Okay. Second is important. Pray with sincerity. Right. Also, okay, I'm going to skip over this part because we're running out of time. Another thing I want to say about prayer is, there's this, one of my favorite stories is in Luke 18, and Jesus tells a story about this widow. And this widow is like, she gets her land taken away from her. And so she goes to the judge, and she's like, Judge, this rotten scoundrel stole my land from me. Tell him to give it back. She's like old widow. She has no husband. She's really old. And the judge is like, I'm an unjust judge. I don't care. Bye-bye, right? And so she leaves, but she comes back the next day, and she's like, give me justice! Give me justice! And he's like, oh my gosh, go away, lady. So she comes back the next day, give me justice! And so finally the unjust judge says, oh my gosh, I don't care about God, I don't care about man, but because this stinking, annoying widow won't leave me alone, I will give her justice. And then he gives her justice. And Jesus says, this is a story, he says, hey, your heavenly Father, He will quickly answer those who call to Him day and night. Yeah? But when the Son of Man comes, will He find that kind of faith? And while on the one hand, we need to recognize that God hears our prayers, and we don't have to repeat ourselves over and over and over again. It's not like, oh God, please give me a car. Oh God, please give me a car. Oh God, we don't have to repeat ourselves like that. We should persist in prayer when we don't see the answer. We should not give up in calling out to Him. Jesus said, when He comes again, will He find that kind of faith on the earth? If Jesus were to come back right now, would He find the kind of faith in your heart? That after you pray, hey God, would you let my grandpa get saved? That are you a person that just gives up then? Or will you continue to pray because you know that God could do it? And you know that it's on God's heart to do it. And so you continue to pray every day, saying, God, I know you're good. I know you love people. I want you to save my grandfather. Would you save my grandpa? Will Jesus find that kind of faith in your heart when He comes back? That's a challenge. All right. Okay, we're running out of time, so I'm just going to skip to the last part, which is this. This is just a few practical prayer tips. So these are like things that I've found that help me in prayer. How many of you guys have ever felt like when you pray, it's difficult to pray for more than like 30 seconds? You guys ever felt that way? No, some of you? I feel that way. Oh, it's my prayer time. All right, dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you so much for just food. I'm not eating. Oh, okay, never mind. Don't think of the food. Just thank you for life and my health and the Lakers, and oh yeah, Jeremy Lin. Yeah. Oh man, he stunk last game. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, maybe I can look it up on my computer. What? I'm praying. Oh, what? You know, like, right? Have you guys ever had that experience? It happens to me all the time when I pray. So there's some things I do that help me stay focused in prayer and help me persist in prayer. So the first one here is walking and praying. And we actually see an example of this of Paul in the New Testament in Acts 17. Acts 17, 22. It's not a perfect analogy, so I encourage you to look it up on your own. It says that Paul was walking through the city looking at all the idols in the city. So I don't know what he was doing. He might have just been like, hey, let's take a sightseeing tour of Ephesus. See, look, an idol, right? But I think he probably, because as he was doing this, he was preparing how he was going to speak to this city about Jesus. I think he was probably walking through the city and praying through the city as he saw stuff. So maybe if you like, hey, I need to take some time with the Lord and I want to just pray. Just walk down the street. When you pass people, pray for them. They don't have to know you're praying for them. You know, like, hey, God, I just pray for that beggar. I just pray that you provide for him. I pray that you've given you know, what he needs. Hey, this guy walking past me, he looks like a businessman. I pray that you bless him. I pray that he's married. He bless his relationship with his wife, blah, blah, blah. Hey, I see a billboard with, like, a really risque woman. God, I just pray that you would help this city to not have, like, bad ideas of, like, sex and stuff. I pray that you'd help this city to be a clean city. Would you bring your purity? You know what I mean? And just pray for the things you see as you walk. That's one thing you can do. And also just ask the Lord and he'll show you things to pray over certain areas. Alright, second thing is specific time. And that's where this picture comes from. This is a painting. It's not an actual picture, in case you can tell. Of Daniel. So, if you read in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was a high government official and they were trying to catch him. So what they did was they were like, oh, king, make a law that no one can pray to anyone except for you because you're so awesome. So just make it a law. 30 days, nobody can pray to anybody else. And the king's like, that sounds like a great idea. And then one of his top officials, who's Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day to God. So they used this because they knew that he wouldn't stop praying. So then he heard about the edict, but he was like, so what? I'm still going to pray. So 3 times a day, he came and prayed, and they caught him, and they threw him in a lion's den. So it's very important that you as well pray regularly at the same time every day so that bad guys can throw you into lion's den. But what did Daniel find in this? Daniel found that he could be, as he set aside specific times to pray, that helped him to make sure he was doing it every day. We do this with food, right? Every morning around 7 to 8 to 9 o'clock, you eat breakfast, right? Every lunchtime, you eat lunch during that time. Every dinner time, you know, it's very rare that you don't have it at one of those specific times. Why? Because we realize we need food or we will die, right? Well, we need connection with the Lord as well. So if you set aside time with him, that'll help you to make sure you're doing it regularly. Okay, also listening. When you pray, make sure you don't just talk. You guys remember this from the retreat if you were there? When Samuel was young, he was hearing this voice, and his mentor said, hey, when you hear the voice, it might be from God. So what I want you to say is, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I think sometimes, like I said at the retreat, we go to God and we're like, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. Ooh, snap. Sometimes we need to stop and say, speak, Lord. We're listening. I'm ready to hear from you. So do that in prayer. Alright, prayer journal. And this example we have in David. Actually, how many of you guys have read the Psalms? And you'll notice at the beginning of the Psalm, it says, David wrote this Psalm when, blah, 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 blah. So if you look at Psalms 51, it's like the Psalm where he's like, God, I am a nasty person. Create a clean heart in me. Renew a right spirit. Forgive me for all these horrible things I've done. If you look at the whole top, it says, this is right after he committed adultery with a lady named Bathsheba and like had her husband murdered so that to cover up his crime. Understand? And then lied about it, right? So it's a journal as he did it. And one thing that we found recently, me and Katie, we pray together every morning, and we've been taking the requests down in the little booklet, and then God's been answering them, so we go back and we write the answers in there. And it's so encouraging, because there's a lot of stuff you feel like, man, is this prayer doing anything? And I look back a couple weeks ago, I'm like, oh my gosh, he answered that, he answered that, he answered that. So it's just helpful. All right, the last one is this. Use trouble as a prayer switch. What I mean by that is, let trouble, let hardship in your life be something that causes you to pray, to lift your eyes upward and go to pray. There were people in the Bible who did this very, very well. One is a guy named Jehoshaphat, right? He's the king of the Old Testament. The Bible says that this messenger came and said, hey, Jehoshaphat, there's like thousands and thousands of people coming to attack you. And this is what the verse says. Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he resolved to seek the Lord, right? He just, whoop, I'm scared. Whoop, Lord, what are you going to do? Right? The trouble was a prayer switch. Does that make sense? Let trouble be a prayer switch in your life. We see this in other people as well. In Philippians 4:6, we read the one verse that said, are any of you sick? Let him pray. Are any of you worried? Let him pray, right? So let trouble be a prayer switch in your life to direct you towards God to pray. All right, I have a few questions I want you to talk about in groups, so I'm going to give you about 6 or 7 minutes, and I want you to talk over them. And I didn't write them up, but I will write them up. But this is what they are. They are, number one, do you ever pray alone? Right? Remember I talked about this before? Like, we pray for meals or pray when other people are listening. But do you ever take time alone to pray? Like, not over a meal, just as a personal discipline. Do you ever take time to pray? When and why do you do it? Second one is, what is one practical thing that you can start doing to help you pray more often and to pray with the right heart? And the third question, this is a big one, and I didn't really give you the answer today, but I want you to talk about it. Sometimes it seems like God doesn't answer prayer. Why? Why do you think it is that God doesn't answer prayer? Or what do you think it seems like it was answered? Okay? So let me pray, and then we're going to divide up into groups, and then you guys can discuss it. Right? God, we just want to be people who hear from you, who pray to you. God, we don't want this to be fake. I don't want to pray for other people. I want to pray for you to hear me. God, I know that prayer is powerful, and I ask right now that as we talk in our groups, that you and your Holy Spirit would just come down and show us the truth about prayer. Lead us so that we can be more effective in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Alright, so get in groups, small groups, because we're going to go quickly through. So let's say 3 to 4, right? 3 to 4 people. Absolute max 5, no more than 5, but 3 to 4 in most groups.
We can make an example.